coming round. We're here for the show. I'll be happy tomorrow.
Hi, this is Christy and Katrina here. Today's episode, we want to talk about National Fentanyl Prevention Awareness Day every year. That is on August 21st, and this topic is so near and dear to our heart. We lost both our boys at the age of 28 due to accidental fentanyl overdoses. And I know you've been working so hard at doing some of the research and how it's affecting Ventura County specifically. Do you want to go into any of those topics, Katrina?
Yeah, certainly. Just information for me was, I'm really grateful to see that, you know, the county has developed a lot of resources that weren't available to me. I began searching for different resources and it just wasn't available, and that was maybe in 2019. And so it looks like 2022, they increased. That was the year that my Dylan transitioned. That was May 22nd, 2022. They have since then opened a detox in county at the VCMC that can be...
What is the VC?
That's Ventura County Medical Center. That's in Ventura County.
That's just to clarify for those that aren't in the 805 area code,
right.
how Ventura County is really taking an active role in helping our community.
They are. And there's looking forward, I mean, like through it all, it was, there's that sigh of like gratefulness that when other moms or parents, fathers, they're going to look for resources. They can now receive, there's this just downloadable information. They can go to city hall meetings now where that wasn't going on. This is current information, and you can get to that on Coast, www.coast.venturacounty.gov, and that goes right into, it starts with One Pill Can Kill, Together for Families, and that is for the accidental poisoning, which is obviously what we're talking about when fentanyl is the, and mainly going into that, mainly it's involving fentanyl with any of the deaths that have occurred in 2024. We had talked about that briefly, but I was really shocked by, they say decrease, but it's still such a current problem that they have to have. I mean, thankfully, like I said, they're finding this, but in 2024, the death rate was 1,931, and that's specific to fentanyl.
So when I hear the statistic of 1,934, that is deaths. But what is not included in that is how many families that affects.
That's right.
So the families, that's just the statistic of those that died.
That's right.
And it's not a individual problem. It is a community problem, and it's affecting, fentanyl is affecting so many people, not just those that are addicts.
That's right. And one of the conversation pieces that, like, as I was looking through and just thought this would be, you know, the doctors, all so many people have moved, what they are sharing is that have moved from, say, heroin to fentanyl in recent years, and then they worry what's worse, what's coming next, and now they have xylazine.
It's called a xylazine. On the streets for that drug is called Trank.
That's right. And they are finding that even the Narcan and the other, developed tools that can rescue aren't being effective with the Narcan for that blending. So we're just learning a lot more as we're going along. We just want to share information. But just in finding that, I was really, like I said, going back to that at that www.coast.venturacounty.gov, there's just a lot of information for people searching for, resources.
Does it say what age group is mostly affected in this demographic?
It's mostly young men, but at the ages of 19 to 35.
Mm-hmm. And I know from my experience when Devin was in rehab.
Yeah.
Every time I'd go into the rehabs, my heart would break.
Yeah.
Because it was just full of young people.
Yeah.
And to see so many young men, there were, statistically, there were more young men than young women. But I've seen the youngest is 18 years old.
Yeah. I mean, we know that the stories, I mean, they the tragedies are endless, but the ages are just, because of the younger accidental finding a pill or finding being around the fentanyl. So that's where I like raising this awareness. It's not just about like where we are now. Would be more for prevention for future generations, obviously, to know that this is just, I mean, raising the awareness of how deadly the poison is of fentanyl. If it's around, if a child finds it, these are the stories that are raising the attention, that are getting the attention that it needs, like, say, at the White House level, where when, again, we were seeing the fentanyl pour across, open borders, Canada and Mexico, that has decreased because of the awareness now of it. So you're not going to have as much illicit going through, but we're still seeing huge seizures going through.
Well, from my understanding as well, is that my younger son and his age group, they're scared to try. They are scared of the streets. So that's part of the reduction in the statistics, in my personal opinion, which is I'm happy to hear.
But
we need to make the streets safe. We have a whole generation of kids growing up that are scared of school shootings, scared of the drugs, scared of losing family members. I know in that demographic as well, how many of the younger siblings have already lost a mother, a father, a brother, a sister. So there's the fentanyl crises affects so many different people in so many different ways, not just mothers.
It does. I think that takes us back to even like to the COVID time. We'll go back to that where, again, things were just shut down. Rehabs were closed down. I mean, you couldn't get into a rehab without, vaccinations. We won't get into that on this podcast, but I just wanted to touch on that, there's so many reasons for this generation to, we're fighting for them. We're really fighting for them because there's so many things that they are, the isolation, the loneliness, where do they turn to? If they're going to turn to the things that we want to promote that better, the search for, there are so many now podcasts they can look for that can be about sobriety and living soberly and having it be that, finding the high in the way of life, their healthy passions, the skateboarding, the music, the arts, the creative aspects of life that I think just so many people were shut down during COVID that's what we found, and that's what we're dealing with, like the mental health crisis part.
Well, one of the things that I'm happy to see is how they are addressing the bullying within the school. Devin was bullied, and I've switched schools two separate times because of the bullying. And I do remember going into the elementary school and talking to the principal and asking for some help and guidance with the kids teasing Devin, because he was always a big, sensitive kid. And if you're big and sensitive, that you can, not always, but you can stand out.
Right.
And so in changing the schools, it helped, but it wasn't. We need to also educate that kindness is a movement now.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting that it's a movement.
Yeah. Well, it's, there's this another community event called Facing Down Fentanyl event. It's at vcoe.com. And they work with their liaisons to Ventura County Schools. They've adopted fentanyl prevention curriculum developed by Natural High that includes engaging lesson plans for students of all ages to learn about the current, like, scientific findings on youth behavior, brain development, social, norming, and substance abuse prevention. Positive examples, they have Kelly Slater, athletes, musicians, Tony Hawk, that are working actively to help motivate and inspire. And I just feel like if we can get more of that happening, this is how we can help.
I agree with that. I agree with that statement. Maybe this is not going to be a popular opinion. As Devin's illness progressed, of course, we would talk, and I would ask him, "Where did you start?"
Right.
And one of the things that he said is when he was in elementary school and they put the beer goggles on him, mm-hmm. he said that he thought that that was fun. Hmm. He enjoyed having the beer goggles on.
And was it like a party setting? Is that like
No, it was it was through a different program that the schools were promoting.
Oh.
And he said he never really thought that much about drugs until he was introduced to drugs.
Interesting. I have not heard that at all.
I didn't hear that either. So I guess
it was sort of an activity for.
It was.
Showing, okay.
It yeah. was.
Maybe you could explain a little more of what that would be like. That was done in a school setting. I don't know.
It was through the school districts. They okay. would have a week every year where they would okay. include a program.
Okay. And it would kind of like give a visual of what you would feel like if you were under the influence?
Yes.
Okay, well, that seems triggering.
Well, when you're
seems counterproductive.
When you're a younger child.
Escape is sort of the idea there.
I guess what I'm trying to get at, though, through that, what I've learned from Devin was that we can't leave it up to the schools to educate our children.
No,
we need to educate ourselves. It wasn't necessarily just about the program.
Yeah.
It was more about learning what Devin had told me and leaving it up to the schools to educate our children. As a community and as families, we need to take that responsibility as well and educate our children that if you have a family history, scientifically, you could be more at risk for developing an addiction. That's the science.
Definitely. You know, in just going into where the weaknesses, I'd say the weakness or the strengths are within this county. So that's in California. I'd like just to add in that, you know, the schools are trying to take back the parental for many things, not just where they, what the education they get regarding, you know, prevention for drugs or, you know, like the DARE program at one point. But now it's getting into other things where the parents are the ones that are the first line of defense, whether it is, you know, gender issues or things that people are going to struggle with, loneliness or wherever they're going. It's to turn to their parents first and then have a frontline defense where if the teacher does get told something, the parents can know first. But right now, that's not the way it happens.
Well, and that's where I think if... As parents, we do have a responsibility, and I hope through reaching the community through this podcast, even if you think it may not be your child, know the statistics, know the facts, because one of the things that I wish I had known before Deva's illness continued to increase was the dangers. I was the naive parent who I just didn't think it would be my child.
No.
I don't know why I had that mindset.
I didn't.
But I had that mindset that not my child. So as an education for the people, for the community, it doesn't discriminate. It really doesn't discriminate. And we can protect our children. But we can't protect our children from outside sources or the world.
And that goes into, you know, what they are in locally. Again, prosecution seems too lenient on drug dealers. What can be done to the smaller dealers, they seem to, pay bail and be released, while a defendant on sales cases can receive sentences up to 5 years. What we can do, we know, is what the system seems to be changing, is that dealers are not given the maximum sentence, so there's really no fear factor for that. So that will help if we can raise awareness for if they're tried for, which we find and we know is murder, and you take a life. So there can be the highest penalties against fentanyl dealers. There can be prevention in that way. I mean, I think at that's that level of it. Whereas we're not going to stop the curiosity. We're not. I feel like we can do the best we can in all certain aspects, but getting it to it where it's prevention of, like, you know, if that's going to be as a dealer that you would go to prison for, you know, possible murder, that prevents possible future.
Absolutely. And it's,
what are your thoughts on that with what's going on currently for you?
I think that there should be accountability for those that sell. And I also think that as a society, we need to recognize that dealing is a disregard for human life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I understand that there comes a point where sometimes users will buy to support their own habit. Being an addict, it's their responsibility to get clean. being a dealer does not
right.
discount the fact that that's they're responsible for what they did.
Right.
And so it's, you can't, I'm trying to look for the right words. I'm stumbling right at this moment. What's the worth of a soul? I guess, what is the worth of a soul?
Right.
And often, if somebody has an overdose or an accidental overdose, they are dismissed because they'll say, well, they knew the risk.
Right.
And
that's a stigma. We want to break that stigma of anyone that's suffering substance abuse disorder. It's a painful journey for the person suffering that. We talk about traumas, and we talk about things that bullying and things that just come into their life that's often, as parents, we don't even know. And until we can get them to speak more openly, because we're speaking more openly about it, and there's so much and more information around. Information is the tool. Information is everything. So just exactly in what we were just saying, that it is, you know, I think the best front line to prevention is going to be just where we open the conversation up and we break the stigma and we stop the, you know, that like their fear of coming to us and talking to us at earlier ages. But then when it comes to where they're still holding on to it, just having more access to where they can get good quality care. And
well, and our children are growing up in a different world than we grew up in.
Yeah.
And so there are things that are cultural, that each generation faces different challenges.
Yeah.
So my challenge in the 80s is not the same challenge as my child had in 2000 as a young adult.
Oh, I know.
And so my transition into adulthood was easier because the 80s was a fun time where it was easy to get a job, it was easy to buy a car.
Yeah.
And
those stressors. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Buying a house, the stressors of, you know, why go to college and can't buy a house. Those are, again, other topics to go down of just how to relieve those stressors. But just.
Well, and I think at that point in time, too, is the parents, the kids of the, I say the kids of the 80s, young adulthood in the 80s. I was a young adult in the 80s. The parents were in a happy, healthier place too.
Yeah, and often, but not always. Definitely. I want to kind of touch base into where to reach out for. Like, if it isn't a parent, let's just go into that. If there isn't the existing co-two parents at home, oftentimes that isn't the case. That just having safe places to go to, mentorship, and for all young men and women that are safe environments, having those be accessible, maybe that is next line of a defense to or offense or defense. But sorry, I interrupted you again there, but I just wanted that to be that oftentimes there isn't that two parent at home.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. That is accurate.
Yeah.
And one of the skills that I think that we need to learn is teach our youth and ourselves, not just our youth, but we lead by example, correct?
Yeah.
And so it's resilience.
Yeah.
What makes an individual resilient, and how to understand, even for the users, how brave they are when they receive treatment.
Absolutely.
They should not be shamed for going into treatment. And although often relapse can be part of recovery.
Absolutely. Relapse is a part.
I make the statement that Devin chased sobriety as much as I chased Devin.
Yeah, same.
He wanted to be sober, and he went to rehab over and over. So I think we were all learning. Mm-hmm. But with a younger generation, within my family unit, it was having my children understand that we would always say there's two Devons, and Devon would say the same thing.
Have you ever said, like, I've heard myself say many times, if I would have known then what I know now, I would, you feel like there's like this, the more tools at hand. And I think that's just that part of now, like having group supports for parents that they can go to. There are, many, and you can, there's a choice for anyone, but Al-Anon being one for early coming into that, where if your addiction runs in the family or your child is struggling, it's better ways of tools to handle that, where you're not sort of reacting, you're taking a pause and you're stepping back, versus just like I was running and finding that Dylan was running away from. Sort of the more I pushed, it was more of like, because my fear of what was, you know, coming, it's like a train coming at your child, or they're running across the street, you're going to pull them back at all costs. But
so have you heard the statement fear?
Yeah,
there's two acronyms for it, and I love the second one. The first one is forget everything and run. Forget everything that we know and run. The other one is
false.
No. It's face everything and rise.
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah, yeah.
So as a community, we need to rise. We need to face.
Yeah.
This.
There was a lot of fear, and I think that's the whole thing—the fear of what treatment would be like. There was, we used the fear of false evidence appearing real. And it would be, because there was a lot of anxiety within Dylan, and I know that is true that you've shared with Devin as well. I think it starts with either, you know, anxiety, trauma, loneliness, and we can start with the starters, but like, and then where do you go from there? So there was, I didn't have the, at the time, I was trying to save and rescue without looking back and stepping back to what could be the better way for me to communicate with him. And then with fentanyl, we didn't get one more time. He was, it was like one more time was stolen from us, just like so many families. And when it's just the poisoning, it just feels like, it's just awful. It's an awful walk.
And I often think that if it's not affecting your family, then it's a them issue.
That's right.
But fentanyl is not a them issue.
It's an us issue.
Absolutely. So either we can, again, August 21st, I would encourage everybody just to get on the website or Google what you need to know about Fentanyl Awareness Prevention Day. And they've made that day because we want it to become an us issue. Because as a community, when we face it head on, then it can take away the fear. And again, fear, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And I want our community to rise connected, together.
That's right. That's what we're wanting to do as moms, our grief journey and being able to share what we can now, because with the tools we can help. And then with that, there is a hotline. It's 1-844-385-9200. And that is medications for addiction treatment, the alternatives to if your child is in that active search, that there are now this number you can call. And it's frontline defenses of how to get them into and off of the, if they're already into drugs at that point.
And many people may not know that they can actually get Narcan as well. I know that sounds
right.
Scary to carry Narcan, but it's prevention, not repair.
No, that's right. And you can get your free kits. The Narcan kits are at 805-667-6663.
Once again, repeat that number one more time.
That's 805-667-6663.
And what was the other number? And repeat what that...
And that is for the medications of, they call it MAT, Medications for Addiction Treatment, Alternative Medications. That's 1-844-385-9200.
Okay. And as I continue on with my current journey, what's currently going on.
Right.
I just have to continue to face every day forward motion.
You're a warrior.
I'm trying to be a warrior. You're because a warrior. It's up to us to lead.
Yeah.
And I do say that I feel like Devin was on the front end of the opiate epidemic, and he put up such a fight. And I'm so proud of my boy that I still want to make him proud. Mm-hmm. So when I do go into the courthouse, some of it can be triggering. Some of it can be triggering. But at the end of the day, I look at it that it's about all the moms, all the dads, all the families that don't really know what happened to their children.
If our information can save one person.
One person, and that one person can save another person.
That's my Dylan coming down and say, just that's awesome, Mom. That's awesome.
And that's why we're here. This is why we are doing the podcast, because we want to save that other person and empower them to go out and save somebody else. Our community shouldn't be afraid to talk about
the
fentanyl.
Break the stigma. Yeah.
Break the stigma. Help each other. Reach out your hand and support, because often at times I felt so alone. Mm-hmm. And as I shared my story, because I openly shared, mm-hmm. I was often met with negative comments mm-hmm. about my child, or why are you buying him clothes? Why are you buying him food? He needs to go out and get a job. Mm-hmm. And I was often defending the fact, honestly, I just want him to focus on his mental health.
That's right.
Baby steps. Sometimes
really
it's baby steps. And for me right now, it's baby steps.
That's
this might be a giant leap, mm-hmm. but this giant leap is because I believe in the baby steps that have brought me here.
When they enter treatment, the work is the treatment is the work. And I was that was a constant with our Dylan. It was this is the work, and you know that is that's huge. There's definitely recover out loud, relapse is a part of just non judgment, break the stigma, community effort, love, kindness, and compassion.
And as moms united together here, we are recovering out loud because we want the community to recover out loud.
Right.
So as I share my story, I hope it touches one mom.
Me too.
So they can share their story.
Yeah.
We do want to
input,
we will be out making awareness at Ventura.
We'll be at the Ventura County Courthouse tomorrow at 12. And that will be for this first August 21st gathering, which will be, it's a National Awareness Day. So that will be every August 21st, and we'll be reaching out then.
It's not over, because we want to continue to bring this forward motion.
To infinity and beyond.
Absolutely.
We're here for the show. I'll be happy.